Welcome to the Top 5 Podcast with your hosts, Rail Bricker and Lindsay Adams.
And welcome back. Our special guest today is Cody Thompson. Cody is based in northern New South Wales here in Australia, and he's a dynamic entrepreneur, visionary leader with a track record of success. My goodness me, I was just chatting with Cody about what he's been up to lately. Wow. I met Cody a couple of years ago at a Dale Beaumont event, and back in those days he was running a business called Lightning Sites. Building websites for entrepreneurs, but I understand he's recently sold that business and he's now focusing in on Business WorkPod. And he co-founded that business with Dale Beaumont. And WorkPod specializes in helping companies build teams in the Philippines, offering comprehensive services that include talent recruitment, state-of-the-art co-working spaces, extensive training and support for both clients and Filipino talent. In just 2 short years, Cody's facilitated the placement of, get this, over 650 remote staff for WorkPod clients and grown, enabling them to achieve greater efficiency, reduce operational costs and strengthen their enterprises. Boy, I'm really keen to learn more about this. Welcome, Cody.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Cody, we're here today to talk about the top 5 tips for building offshore teams. You're clearly an expert at this. So let's get right into it. Tip number one, what do you got for us?
Look, I think the biggest, I put this as my first tip because I think it is really the critical ingredient. It's the entrepreneur themselves or the leader of the enterprise. So the first tip, in my opinion, is to get your own mindset and leadership skills up to scratch. I guess that's the biggest mistake I see when people are trying to grow their businesses, including when I was growing my own, is that usually when the business stops growing, it's my fault. And sometimes it's not that comfortable to admit that. But the truth is, if you want to get great talent to follow you, you have to be a great leader. And if you're not a great leader, then great talent won't follow you on the journey. And so the first thing that I would suggest people look at if they're wanting to hire remote talent is just to, take a look at their own mindset around offshoring. A couple of the big mistakes that I see is that people just having unrealistic expectations. Like if we have an operator come to us for help, and you know, they'll list out a job description as long as my arm, you know, that they're an expert on Facebook ads, they're an expert videographer, they're an expert digital marketer, they're an expert financial officer, and they want all of that in one person and they want to pay $5 an hour. And those types of unrealistic expectations is very, very common. Obviously, when you, and you can tell straight away that they're not a great operator as soon as they kind of like run you through that, because obviously it's not realistic. You know, if you're building a business, and you know, you need to understand that every person has a set of skills and talents, and you know, that there's training required to get people up to the level that you may need them, you know, need to get them to. And you know, expecting to find someone who can single-handedly grow your business and take it to the next level for, you know, $5 an hour is not realistic. So setting, you know, an important step is just having realistic expectations and being, I guess, being ready to train the talent that you hire to get them, you know, to perform the way that you're hoping for in your business.
Fantastic, Cody. So, I mean, and you mentioned there, you know, a job description as long as your arm. Well, you know, I mean, what sort of skills are people looking to outsource? I mean, you said, you know, everything from videography to link to Facebook ads, you know, is it that bigger range that you guys are dealing with at WorkPod?
Yeah, like we built a team the other day, Rael, for like a law firm, and they wanted us to hire paralegals. So we placed people that had passed the bar in the Philippines. We placed them in the legal firm. But then, of course, and this is where a good operator understands, those people are still green. Like they might understand Filipino law, but they still then need to be trained on how to put together contracts the way that particular firm wants them to be done. But yeah, we've built teams for legal firms. We've built, you know, we've hired accountants for accounting firms. We've hired videographers for digital agencies. We've hired, you know, marketing coordinators for lots of different types of businesses. So there's really a wide range of skills that we can hire for, but good operators understand that not everyone's going to come with 100% of the skills required for a job. You want someone with the right character, the right values, and then the right, I guess, starting point so that you can sculpt them into being the high performer that you want on your team. If you're expecting high performers just to walk off the street, you know, it just, in my experience has been, it just doesn't work like that.
Okay, fantastic. So let's move on. So, you know, we've got our mindset right as a leader. We've kind of defined the right job description. Hit us up. Tip number two of your top five tips for building offshore teams.
Well, one of the biggest mistakes I made when I first started was I hired staff like remotely all over the Philippines. So when I started as a freelance graphic designer, I hired staff just anywhere, and I ended up with about 6 or 7 staff all working remotely. And then, of course, as my business was growing, I realized I'd made a mistake. Like, if I wanted them to really collaborate, it would have been better to have them all in one place. So my second tip would be to, right from the start, don't make this mistake I made. I had to then relocate them, you know, many of my staff, to get them in a facility together. So I would recommend hiring your staff in the same location. That allows you to pull them into an office space together. You get a lot better productivity when your staff can collaborate and when they can collaborate in person. Just to give you an example, when we were going through COVID at Lightning Sites, we went from building about 30 websites a month down to about 22 websites a month when everybody was moved remotely. So there was like a 30% drop in productivity. Taking the exact same team and moving them remote, you will find that you won't get the same productivity. So my second tip, hire in the same spot so you can get them all in an office working together.
So I suppose the leverage behind that, you start with one, get to two, get to three, get to four, and building all, it creates that team camaraderie too, doesn't it?
Exactly. And then you can also, you end up where you're not the one person having to oversee every team member. Whereas when I was hiring them all from all over the place, then they required a lot of management because, you know, no one was sitting next to them. Whereas when you get everyone in the same location, you can end up with like a team leader who can help you to manage the performance of the talent, you know, in that remote office.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, let's move on then. Tip number three, what have you got for us?
Have your staff work from a serviced office space. So that kind of dovetails out of my last tip. I think having everybody work, you know, from one location, it just go, the camaraderie, like you said, and the, you're able to build a culture, a team atmosphere, and that will help you with a lot of things. Firstly, it helps you with the productivity of the staff. But the second kind of factor that I didn't really consider until COVID was how much it affects your ability to keep staff long term. When I was going through COVID, we had a lot of staff, a lot more staffing issues that we never had when everyone was in the office together. Because what I found tends to happen is when people are working remotely in their bedroom by themselves, they compare your business with every other potential opportunity they could get online. Whereas when they're working in an office space, if they've got friends that they're working with, then they're considering culture. They're considering going to work with their friends every day. They're not just looking at the pay amount and thinking to themselves, well, if I'm working from home by myself, I may as well earn the maximum amount of money I can. And so, yeah, I found that when everyone was working in an office space together, that culture allowed us to keep our staff longer. It allowed us to be more productive. So, yeah, getting everyone into an office space is, I think, a really big tip.
I think based on my personal experience too, Cody, I've had situations with external staff where, you know, you're talking to them and the odd chicken walks around in the back of the screen and or, you know, that's the funny one, but then the quality or the strength of their internet is variable at best. And I know in the Philippines, there's lots of issues with that. So I'm guessing that having a serviced office space, you'd really be able to beef that up too.
Yeah, I mean, we spend $25,000 a month on internet. So, you know, we've got multiple redundancies, fiber optic lines. We can basically control the internet in and out of the facility, and then we have redundancies for each of our internet lines. So we have like a 99.9% uptime on internet. We have backup power generators. And like you said, in the Philippines, it's just common occurrence. That internet goes down, power goes down regularly, especially when it's really hot and people are using air conditioners. It's just, you know, the way it is there. And also they live in very small homes typically. So oftentimes there's grandparents, you know, with kids at home, and they're in smaller homes. So they're, all of those things become a distraction. Even the heat is a distraction. If you're working at home without air conditioning, it's boiling hot. You know, you're not as productive as when you're in a nice air-conditioned office. Like, all of those things factor into the productivity of the talent. So getting them in a serviced office is, you know, is really important, I think.
Okay, fantastic. So is that your model, I guess? Is that the WorkPod model? It's a, you know, it's a serviced office model?
Yeah, so basically I built WorkPod around what I wish I had when I started outsourcing, when I was building Lightning Sites. Because when I started, there was only really two options. Option one was you hire them as like freelancers online through like Upwork or Freelancer, or you go to an agency in the Philippines and the agency hires the staff on your behalf and then on-sells them to you. But the problem with the freelancer model is it's very time-consuming. You pay casual rates, but the problem with the agency model is the staff don't belong to you. They're hired by somebody else, and then they double or triple the cost of the salary of the staff member and sell them to you. But for me, I wanted to have a direct relationship with my staff, and so that's what we've set up at WorkPod. When we work with a client, we help them hire the staff directly, so they pay less, but the Filipino earns more. And then we have them work from our office facilities, and we charge a fee for the staff to work in our facility, and then they can work in a productive, you know, atmosphere. Our clients often build teams, so our facilities are set up with like different size rooms, like rooms of six, rooms of up to 50, and then people are able to then use our infrastructure basically to build their own team and culture inside the WorkPod facility.
Okay. Fantastic. So, moving on from there, hit us up. The next tip for your top five tips for building offshore teams.
The next one is just to set up rhythms. I think when you're building teams, having like a good cadence for how you work with your team is really important. So, for example, you know, do you do daily huddles, like daily 15-minute stand-up type meetings in the morning? That's what we do. Where you share your one piece of good news, the three most important tasks for the day, and then we share what's called warm fuzzies, which is like, you know, things that you're grateful for, other people in the room, you know, something that somebody did to help you with a particular task or something like that. But then we also do, we call them all hands meetings. So once a month we have an all team meeting with all of the staff. But we have different, obviously our organization's larger, but even for smaller companies, you want to have like set rhythms for your meetings, when you do staff performance reviews, when you meet with them, what your expectations are to get like key projects done. Having those clear cadences and rhythms that are repeatable helps people to feel safe and to understand, like, I guess, when they need to sprint to get stuff done, and then when they're going to get an opportunity maybe to celebrate those things. You'll find people that are not seasoned at building teams, they're very chaotic. Like they'll call a staff meeting randomly. You know, we need to have a big staff meeting today. And then they won't have another staff meeting for 3 months or something like that. Whereas good operators tend to be very consistent in the way that they work with their team. And I think consistency is key.
So how do you get on with language, Cody? You know, I'm sitting here, thinking, you know, I've spoken to some Filipino operators who have very good English and some who don't. How does that impact in terms of, you know, hiring an offshore person?
I mean, yeah, you definitely want to hire people with great English skills. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I started hiring over there, because their English communication skills are fantastic. Obviously, there's those over there that aren't, but they're not typically the people that I'm hiring, unless they're some of the developers in our previous role didn't speak English very well, but they kind of didn't need to for their role. They were coding websites. But if your role is client facing, or if you're dealing with them or communicating with them on a day-to-day basis, then hiring people with great English communication skills is really important. But the Philippines, you know, it was originally settled by Spain and then later by the US. So they're English communication skills are really, really good, particularly, you know, this next generation, like people under the age of 30, their English communication skills are really, really good.
I understand their education standards are really high too, which is another real bonus.
That's right.
Okay. Well, look, let's round it off now. Tip number five for building offshore teams.
I've got here, don't wait too long to hire, just because that's one of the mistakes that I see. The cost to hire a full-time Filipino talent is about 16,000 AUD a year, which is like $5 to $6 AU an hour. And that's including the staff member's salary and including the fees that you would pay to WorkPod to have them work from our facility. And so basically, you know, a lot of times I'll find that people will wait till they have all the systems in place before they hire a role. But I'd suggest you need to have some systems in place, but you don't have to have everything worked out before you hire. You can hire the person and then get them involved in building out the systems for their role. So at a price like that, you can afford to be more aggressive with growing your, you know, growing your team. I guess that's one of the big benefits I see of leveraging offshore talent is that you can be aggressive with the growth. Like even if you've, like for example, if I want to launch a new initiative, I don't necessarily have to wait until it's fully off the ground for me to go out and staff that role. It's not that expensive, even if I have to hold that role for 3 or 4 months before it becomes fully effective. It allows me to implement things in the business faster. So I think that's one of the things I'd see is that business owners tend to wait too long and then they're not factoring in the fact that it might take 6, 8, 12 weeks to get that person up to, you know, up to performance. And so then they're delayed at delivering their projects or things that they thought would be possible. So yeah, that would be my last tip for today.
So Cody, I'm curious, you've talked about, you know, the different roles, you know, legal, accounting, whatever. Is there any limit to what's possible in terms of staff that you could hire?
I mean, most roles exist over there. Obviously, you can only hire people remotely that are doing remote type work. Obviously, there's roles that happen here in Australia that are hands-on that need to be done on the ground here. But in terms of the talent that's over there is a lot of talent. I would suggest that the way people should think about offshoring is not like is not at the expense of their local team. I would suggest the way people think about hiring overseas should be to enhance their local team. So if you've got A-grade players on your team in Australia, you need to try to find ways to help buy back their time so that they can spend their time on the most important tasks for the business. So take that legal firm that we were hiring for example. They've got some fantastic lawyers here in Australia. They shouldn't be thinking about ditching all their Aussie lawyers and hiring all Filipino lawyers, but they made the right decision. What they did is they built teams around their high-performance legal teams here in Australia, and now they've made them 3 or 4 times more effective because now when people are coming for basic legal contracts, they can use AI and different technologies. There's different software technologies and also the offshore team to draft a lot of the low value or I guess more repetitive type contracts. And then their local Australian team's able to produce, you know, 3 or 4 times the amount of work that they were producing before. And they're not adding a lot of salary to the bottom of that. So they're able to like double or triple their capacity without doubling or tripling their staffing costs. So that's how I kind of look at it. It's about building both a local team and an international team. And if you do it well, they should grow together. So that's always been my approach.
Okay. And can I ask a silly operational question then? So I want to hire some sort of assistant. Do I come up with a job description and then I give it to you and you go and find the person? Or how does that part work?
Yeah, that's right. That's essentially how it works. But we do have a checklist. In fact, I can give you a copy of this if you want to include it in your show notes. But we have a checklist that's 160 things that you can outsource to the Philippines. So if people are sort of new to it, what I usually get them to do is use that checklist to tick all the things that they're either doing themselves or one of their team members are doing for the business that could be done by a Filipino person. And then what we do is we use that checklist then to design some roles around the different tasks that they could be offshoring that they're not currently in their business right now.
Excellent. So we are almost out of time. Should our listeners want to get in touch with you and find out more about offshoring or maybe start the process, what's the best way for them to do that?
Just through our website, they can go to www.workpod.com, workpod spelled W-R-K-P-O-D.com. We got heaps of resources there that they can check out. So even if they're just at the beginning of the process and they want to just sort of learn a little bit more about it, there's we've got a great FAQ video section. They can learn about my journey, the things that I learned about building my teams. All that stuff's free and available on our website. And of course, if they need some help, they can book a call in through our website and have a chat.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Cody Thompson, living in northern New South Wales. The home of the rich and famous, I guess.
All over the world.
But thank you very much, Cody, for sharing your top 5 tips for building offshore teams. I'd like to thank my co-host, Lindsay Adams from Brisbane, Australia. This is Rael Bricker from Perth, Western Australia, signing off for another edition of the Top 5 Podcast.